We're in 2 Timothy, as you know. Maybe pull me back a little bit in the house if you could. But we're in 2 Timothy as we're continuing our series, and we've made it to the second chapter is where we're going to be this morning for this week's word. So hanging out in this little book, Paul's letter to Timothy, for a number of weeks. As we jump into today in the series, the title of today's message is Leadership Lessons. As I say that, you may or may not think of yourself as a leader, but whether you do or not, I believe you are in many ways. And if you aren't, I know that God wants you to be. So because anytime anybody is looking at you in any role to follow you or looking to you for guidance or anything like that, well, then you're leading that individual. Moms are leaders. Where are the moms who are here? And at home as well, you're leaders. Dads are leaders. We have ministry leaders in our church. There are our leaders at work. And sometimes you might not be a leader in title at work, but if you're always a leader in the sense that God wants to use you to lead people to Him. So in that sense, we're all called in this role of leadership and leading. And anytime there's somebody looking up to you, and you may have brothers or sisters who look up to you, a student, God wants you to be a leader among your peers, I believe, and you may be a social media influencer in many ways, even if your circle is small. But whatever matter it is, our text today is one to help equip you in that role as we continue our journey through 2 Timothy. So I want to read 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 1 through 7. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 7, it says this: "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this." Hey, let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. As we continue our journey through this little book together, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts through it. Equip us as your church, Lord God. And I know that every one of us, Lord God, we're the light of the world, Lord God. We're the salt of the earth. So whether we have a leadership title or not, every one of us is to be a positive influence on others. So help us to apply some truths that Paul gave to his young student Timothy here in our lives, that we might be a godly influence and leader over others, we pray in the name of Jesus. And church, if you'd pray with me, whether you're here or at home, just pray, "Father, speak to my heart. Equip me through your word. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. A few years back, there was a tour going on in the volcanic region of Iceland, and it was a bus tour. So these people had all bought tickets. They're on a tour. The bus driver is also their tour guide, and he would stop at the different places to show them the sights. And at one of the sites, when they stopped, something happened that was a little similar that happened to my wife and I once when we were on a bus tour. When they got back to the bus driver said, "Someone is missing. Someone's not here." So not everyone who got off the bus got back on. So they started looking for this individual. They couldn't locate the individual. He couldn't leave without the individual. And it was an area where an individual, if they were lost, would have just been left in like a barren area. It's not like they were in a city or a town. They couldn't just leave them there. So after a while of searching and not being able to find the individual, the bus driver contacted local authorities, and a helicopter was brought out, and police and local authorities came out, and they put together a search party to find this woman who was missing. The description of her was that she was a 5'3" Asian woman wearing dark clothing who could speak English well. That's how the bus driver described her. So many people from the bus joined in the search as well. People from the area joined in, and off they all went to find the woman who was missing. One of the members of the search party was a 5'3" Asian woman who could speak English well, but she didn't have dark clothing on, so she didn't know she was looking for herself. But she was part of the search party. And off they went, wandering out in the barren land, and she was out there wandering around as well, trying to find herself because she was missing from the bus. After a period of time had gone by, somehow she realized in talking to other individuals, wait a second, we're looking for me. We're looking for me. Crazy scenario altogether. Now, the bus driver was off altogether in that. The bus driver had miscounted. The bus driver had not recognized what she really looked like. There were other things there. We could say, man, that wasn't very good leadership, if you will. Let's hope and pray that those who look to you and those you lead don't end up lost or are mixed up altogether as well. I want us, that said then, to take these words to heart that Paul gives to Timothy here from the Apostle Paul's Leadership Academy, where he says, man, the children of God, if they're going to lead others, if they're going to be influences over others, these are some true truths or attributes about them, and we'll be able to apply them in our own hearts. The first one is this. Paul says that we've got to be strong. We've got to be strong. Leaders are strong. Christianity is not for cowards. That's not to say we never feel any fear, but even when we do, we stand strong. It is a common thread throughout Scripture. The call to be strong, the call to take courage, to be bold, to stand firm. That's who we are as the children of God. We have to be. If Christianity was for cowards, then God wouldn't have put you in a suit of armor. The language throughout Scripture is that you're in a battle, that we wear the armor of God. We're on a war field. This is the imagery that we're given. God calls us to be strong for Him. God wants us to work. God wants to work through us in a way that our lives impact the culture that is around us. In church, you know as well as I do, the culture needs impacting. Come on. The culture needs impacting because the culture needs Jesus. It needs Jesus. People need Jesus. Paul is writing these words from a dungeon cell. He's awaiting execution. He's facing difficult circumstances, and he understands the need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See, you don't need to be strong if there's no opposition. You don't need to be strong if there's nothing coming against you. But for those who lead, those who march out front, those who influence others with their lives, strength is a necessary commodity. Think with me about the three young Hebrew men that many of us are so familiar with, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know those guys. They faced an incredible obstacle in a 90-foot statue that they were told they had to bow down to. Told that you've got to bow to a 90-foot statue when the music starts and worship the statue. They resisted that. Of course, the penalty was you'll be thrown into a furnace of fire. Come on, getting burned hurts. You're with me in the room. Have you burned yourself before? I mean, the tiniest little burn is incredibly painful, incredibly painful. I cannot imagine being told you're going to be thrown into a fire. It would be an excruciating way to die, an excruciating thing to experience. It would be frightening to be told such a thing. But having been told that, and that before them, they were strong. They didn't bow. They didn't bow. They told Nebuchadnezzar, we don't even know if our God will deliver us. We don't even know if God will set us free. But whether He will or won't, we won't serve your gods. Of course, we know the account. They were thrown into the furnace that was heated 7 times hotter. And having been thrown in there, Nebuchadnezzar, looking in, asked those around him, didn't we throw 3 people into the furnace? But there's 4. And the 4th one is likened unto the Son of God, was the call. Praise God. God had miraculously delivered them. They came out without even the smell of fire or smoke, the Bible tells us. I don't know what would have happened if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had bowed. Somebody could say that to me. Pastor, what would have happened if they had bowed? What would have happened if they had just bowed and worshiped the statue? I don't know, because that's not what happened. But I do know what would not have happened. They never would have experienced that miraculous deliverance from God. They never would have experienced Jesus right there with them in the furnace. They never would have received the promotions that they received afterwards to lead the provinces that they were put over. Nebuchadnezzar's life never would have been impacted where he would actually issue a decree saying no one in the kingdom can say anything negative about these guys' gods, and everybody's got to honor their God. None of these things would have happened if they had not been strong. And I can't tell you what will happen in your life if you're not strong, but I can tell you this, you'll miss out on a lot that God has for you. God wants us to stand boldly for Him, to take courage for Him in our living for Him. The second thing Paul tells Timothy, though, is he tells him to stand strong. Then he also tells him, Timothy, you need to pass it on. You need to hand off some things in your life. Now, in the pass it on. Hand off what you've been taught. In the 2008 Olympic Games, the American men were heavy favorites to medal in the 4x100 relay. If you know relays, these are sprinters who are running one after another, 100 meters each. And in the transition, when one runner comes up to the next, they hand off a baton to the next runner. And you can't leave the designated area until the baton is passed to you. And we had some fast runners that year altogether. It was in Beijing, and of course, speed wins races and speed wins sprints, but in relay races, races are won and lost in the passing of the baton. In this race, Darvis Patton was America's third leg in Beijing. Our fastest sprinter was Tyson Gay. He was our last leg that year. And as Darvis came around in that third leg and entered the transition point, Tyson Gay took off and running full sprint. Tyson reached back with his hand behind him. And you've seen it happen in the Olympics. Of course, the runner behind him is going to lay that baton right into his hand. Tyson Gay, hitting full stride, reaches back. And what happened? He closes his hand and there's nothing in it. There's nothing in it. The baton just fell and hit the ground. They lost the race in the passing of the baton. It had to have been passed smoothly. Paul wrote something earlier in his letter to Timothy that we read a couple of weeks ago as well, where he said it was Timothy's grandmother Lois who first believed in Jesus. Lois had a daughter named Eunice. She also became a believer in Jesus. And then Timothy was who followed next. He put his faith in Jesus Christ as well. The baton was being passed from one generation to another to another. And now Paul, who was such an influence in Timothy's life, is telling him, Timothy, it's your turn. Pass it on. Come on, somebody say, pass it on. Teaching others about our faith, it comes from the words we speak, but just as strongly and perhaps more so, it comes from how we live. That's what Paul said about Timothy's grandmother and mother's faith. He said this, he said it lived in them. I want you to know your faith is to be alive in you. Faith is not something that we simply, it's not like a book. It's not something that's just written. It is alive. Faith is alive within us in our lives. And he tells him that it's to live in them. Their faith was alive. They had handed a living faith off to someone else. Leaders, those who influence others, we pass on what we know as well. We pass on what we've seen. We pass on what we've heard. We pass on what we know. We teach it. We demonstrate it. We live it out. Moms and dads, I want to encourage you. Let your children see you reading the Bible. Let your children see you pray. Let somebody else see you pray. I know that we pray in the closet on our own, but let other people see you live out your faith. Demonstrate it for others. You may never teach a class, you may, but you can still entrust to others what has been entrusted to you. When I was a young believer, Pastor Kurt Fox, he died this past year. He was my first pastor. I would just hang out at the church and watch him and glean from him. He was such an influence on my life. Roger Mahan never taught me in a class. He was a worship leader in our church. But I would go to his home and hang out with him. And I got to see him live the Christian life. His faith was alive, and I watched it. Marshall Byler was a man in our church that when I would be stumped and have Bible questions, I could go to Marshall and say, I don't understand this, and what is this? And he was just a student of the scriptures. He would know and say, well, consider this verse, and look at this, and would guide me in this. These were individuals in my life who passed on what they had received. And of course, every one of us, it's then our turn to do the same thing. Now, my wife and I, a few years ago, if you remember, a long time ago, there was this thing we used to do called vacation. I know we don't do that anymore, but way back a long time ago in 2019 and before, we used to do this thing called vacation, where we would actually go places and rest for a week and all. And do you remember it? you're at home or here, you remember that? Remember there was that thing called vacation that we used to do and stuff? And it'll come back eventually and we'll do it in some way. So it was the summertime. We rented an RV to drive across the country to the Grand Canyon. Now, come on, that sounds pretty fun, right? That sounds like an exciting thing. And it was for us as well. It was me, my wife, my two sons, and one of our nieces also came with us to drive across the country. And the Grand Canyon is spectacular. If you've never seen the Grand Canyon, you should go there this afternoon and see it, seriously, because it's really cool. Just make sure you're back before it gets dark. So we drove across and we saw the Grand Canyon. It was incredible, but it was a long trip. We were on the road for about 2.5 weeks. So on the trip, we stopped at a laundromat one day, or at a campground. They had a laundromat, and we went to do laundry. So we come in to the laundromat, and I'm throwing the clothes in the washing machine, and right here beside me on my left is my niece, and she puts her laundry in this washing machine, and I put mine in this one, and my niece asked me where the soap goes. She says, where does the soap go? And I said, you've never done laundry? And she said, no. Now, you need to understand that my niece was not 12. She was about 25, all right? She was about 25 at the time. And I'm like, you never done laundry? She said, no, my mom always does it. Now, we could applaud her mom for being so faithful, but it was kind of time to pass it on. Hello. It was like, you know what? You need to learn how to use the washing machine. Someone's not always going to be there. But in all of our lives, and magnified is the case with the scriptures, that we pass on our faith and what we have learned and what we know. It's so important. Hand off your faith. Tell others about what God has done in your life. Live as an example for others to see. People are looking at you. People are watching you in your life. Now, Barnabas had been a major influence in Paul's life. We know that. Paul had been in Timothy's. Now he wanted to remind Timothy to do the same. And Timothy's reminder is our reminder. Let me keep moving because he gives him something else as well. He says, Timothy, if you're going to be a leader, you're going to influence others with your life, you also are going to have to endure hardship. You're going to have to endure hardship. Doesn't matter whether you're leading a family, a ministry, on the job, in the classroom. When you decide that you're the one who wants to do the influencing instead of just being the one who gets to influence, then there's going to be some hardship that's going to come along the way. Think about the individuals in Scripture that we could look to. Moses, Joshua, go back to Abraham or to Nehemiah, consider Esther or Deborah. It doesn't matter who. People who have taken a stand, believers who have been strong and sought to influence the world around them for good, have had hardships to endure in their lives, and we're challenged to do so as well. He says this. He says, endure hardship like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Don't get caught up in civilian affairs, is what Paul says. Don't get distracted from who you are, is what he is saying. Don't get distracted from who you are. Can you imagine a soldier on the battlefield? Now, I've not been in the military. Some of you in this room have been. Some of you watching have been. I've not been in the military. So perhaps there's someone who's a part of this today who's even been on the battlefield, in an actual battle. But picture this with me. A soldier on the battlefield, pinned down, bullets flying, bombs going off, crazy scene, and the soldier crawls over, bullets flying over him, crawls over to their commanding officer and says, I'll be right back. I'll be right back. And the officer's like, where are you going? And he says, I just remembered that my little sister's birthday is next week and I've got to order some balloons. That wouldn't even make any sense. We'd be like, what are you talking about? You can't worry about civilian affairs right now. You're on the battlefield. Imagine they were on the battlefield. They were out there and they're pinned down. And the officer looks over and a soldier is over there and he's found a couple pieces of wood and he's nailing them together. And his officer crawls over and is like, what are you doing? What are you doing? He says, I'm building a house. I'm building a house so I have somewhere to live out here. It wouldn't make any sense to do such a thing. But you know, the only focus in that setting is just the battle. Just the battle. And Paul tells Timothy, you can't get distracted. You've got to be focused on what you're doing. You've got to keep your attention focused on this. Because life on earth will distract you. Hello. Life on earth will distract you. Come on, where's our citizenship? We're citizens of heaven, amen? We're citizens of heaven, but if you're not careful, you'll get so caught up into life on earth that it will be all of your focus, when in reality, we're pilgrims passing through to a kingdom that Jesus is preparing for us, and that's where our focus needs to be. We must remember that we're heavenly citizens. Don't let the world distract you from what matters most. He also compares our enduring to an athlete and to a hardworking farmer. Keep going is what Paul is saying. Endure, press on by using a good soldier, a winning athlete, a hardworking farmer. He's using images of effectiveness. He's saying you're going to be effective. Not everyone is effective. Some people quit. They quit on their families. They quit on their friends and loved ones. They think living a life of faith is too difficult. Somebody even in this room or watching right now maybe has had somebody quit on you. But that's not who God wants you to be. That's not who God wants you to be. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on in the faith. And then Paul just gives one final thought. One final thought is snuck in where he tells him to reflect, to reflect. He says leaders, those who influence others, he says they are reflective. They reflect on what they have been taught. Verse 7 says, reflect on what we are being taught and God will give us insight. Insight is something that you need when you're trying to live a life that positively impacts others. Mom or dad, you might get stumped in raising your kids. You get stumped. I raised kids. Man, sometimes I would just be like, I don't know what to do with this boy. When you get in that position, you need the Holy Spirit. You need insight from God to direct you in what to do and how to respond in that situation. Maybe you're trying to lead a loved one to Christ and you aren't sure what to do next. Or maybe you're wanting to teach others the truths of God's word and it seems like they're not getting what you're communicating. Whatever it is, Paul says to reflect on these things. We pause, we're back, we say, Holy Spirit, give me this insight. Help me to know what to do to be able to influence those around me in my life is what he's called us to do. Fortunately, we're not on our own in all of this. The Holy Spirit is with us. Ask God to help you. Spend time in the presence of God. That can be tough when the kids are little. That can be tough when you're trying to virtually teach kids at home who are learning in this season. I get that. You may have to be really strategic, but those who want to influence others need to be reflective and rest in the presence of God. If Jesus needed it when he was in the flesh, and he did, he modeled it for us, we sure need it as well. I want to pull all this together, and in just a bit, our worship team's going to come back to lead us in one of those great songs again before we close today. But first things first, Paul was giving Timothy illustrations, demonstrations of effectiveness. He was telling him, be strong, be strong. Pass it on. Endure hardship. And to help us reflect, he said, like a good soldier, like a committed or a winning athlete, and like a hardworking farmer. Again, he was trying to show that God's plan was for us to live our Christian lives effectively. Effectively was the idea. He didn't say it like a losing athlete. He didn't say like a farmer who never grows anything. He didn't say like a soldier who's AWOL. He said a good soldier, a winning athlete, a hardworking farmer, that pictures were to show us that God's plan was that we would be effective in living this life and the influence we would have on others as we followed him. So don't give up. Don't give up on believing God for your family, on raising godly sons and daughters. Don't give up on reaching your loved ones with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't give up on being a witness to a world that is lost around you and desperately needs Jesus. Student, don't give up on being a voice for the voiceless, a godly influence for what is just and good with your life on others. Let the Holy Spirit work through you. Let the Holy Spirit work in you, in your life, to impact others for good. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy. That's God's word to us. Before I pray, I want to invite the worship team to come back up here with me on the stage at this time. We'll sing a song even just as an act of commitment. But first things first, let's pray together. If you're here with me, I want to invite you to stand. I haven't been able to ask people to stand in months. I think I asked you at home a few times to stand. If you're in the room, I invite you to stand. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we look to you right now. And we thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you for this call that was written to Timothy so many years ago. But we believe today, Lord God, that it is a word written to us as well. And for every man in this room, every woman in this room, every student in this room, Lord God, we believe it's a call to us, Lord God, to live for you. God, I know that your plan for our lives was never for us to just get through, Lord God. Your plan was never for us to just get by, Lord God. Your plan was that we would be godly influences and that we would lead others to you, lead others around us, Lord God. God, we've sought to do that, so many and most, if not even all of us in our lives, but we recognize this call, as Timothy was doing it, to apply these things in our lives to be effective in this, Lord God. Help us to be strong. Help us to be strong in you. Help us to endure hardship, Lord God. Whatever comes our way, when obstacles come our way, we're going to continue to say yes to you and to follow you, Lord God, in our lives. Help us, Lord God, to hand off this faith to others around us and be an influence on them, we pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And when we're stumped in this, when we're lost, Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you. Help us to reflect on you and what we've been taught. Allow you. Your word says if we do that, you will give us insight in how to apply these things in our lives. We want to live for you effectively. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. We can walk in this. Amen. We can live this. We can be effective in the kingdom of God. We live in a world that is lost and is dark. So many are without hope in this season. Come on. We need to be the light of the world like we've never been before. Let's walk in these truths. Don't slip out. We'll dismiss you in just a moment. First things first, let's worship to one more song before we go. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's praise him one more time, for he's a way maker, a miracle worker, and a promise keeper. Amen. That is who he is. He's unchanging. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Go ahead, give God praise. Amen. 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 Hey, remember, God's plan for every one of us here, if you're at home, is that we are individuals who do the influencing. That's God's plan over you. Everybody's influenced by others, so that's why you want to surround yourself with godly people, but walk in being the influencer. Be strong. Endure what comes your way. Pass on that faith and let the Holy Spirit give you insight in how to do it. But in the workplace, in the home, wherever we are, that we're the ones who are pointing people to the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that way. Amen? Hallelujah. Hey, you've been prayed for. Live a victorious week in Christ Jesus. If you're at home, we're so glad that you joined us this week. Remember, you can register at our website to attend next Sunday as well. We'd encourage you to register early in case our room fills and we know we need to offer a couple of services. Have a great week in Christ Jesus. Amen.